good news, everyone!
Time for fun!
It's time for another episode of Blessing of Frost, a World of Warcraft podcast hosted by Magic and Kern.
Hi there, and welcome to episode 11 of Blessing of Frost. My name is Kern, and as usual, I'm here with Magic.
Hi, Kern. How are you?
I'm doing well, Madge. How about yourself?
Not too shabby. I'm excited for another wonderful podcast.
I am too. I think it's going to be a fun podcast. And do you know why I think it's going to be a fun podcast?
I don't. Can you tell me, please?
Pretty yes, cool. I can.
Sweet.
We have a very special guest this week. His name is Stony Baby, and he's the guild master of Big Crits, the Horde guild over on Senjin, that also has a web series detailing their adventures. Real people conquering a virtual world is how they build the show, and if you're not already watching, you're totally missing out. So be sure to visit bigcrits.com. Welcome to the show, Stony.
Thank you very much. It is definitely a pleasure to be here. I was very excited to get your email to come and be on the show tonight.
Wow, that's kind of shocking to me. But,
super excited to have you.
Yeah, definitely.
Excellent. Good times. Good times.
And with that, we'll move on over into War Master. Anything exciting in your world, Kern?
Not a whole lot was exciting this week. In fact, the most exciting thing was that I was dog-sitting for my parents while they were in the Dominican Republic for a week. And that's actually why we couldn't record Blessing of Frost last week, because the internet connection there is craptastic.
So I guess the word exciting is kind of a relative term then.
Yeah, unless you consider the dog like licking my hand at 6:30 in the morning to go out. No, not really all that exciting.
That's less than exciting in my
mind. What kind of a dog?
He's some kind of a terrier of some sort. He's like 7 or 8 at this point. He's very fluffy, and I'm more than mildly allergic to him, so I really resent.
Oh boy, man.
Yeah, good times.
Those little punctable dogs, I'm not a big fan. You know, I'm more of a big dog kind of guy. Like, give me a big dog, you know, that wants to go and run around and chase things and bring back a whole, you know, tree limb as a present for you. The little fluffy ones, not so much.
Yeah, he's actually kind of on the chunky side because my parents feed him a lot. So he's a bit larger than your average yappy dog or whatever. He's a good dog. But really, that was the most exciting thing about my week. I remember trying to heal Madge through a random heroic the other day, and I had to like alt F4 and relog because my world latency was so out of control, and like no amount of resetting my router would do anything. I was like getting DC'd on Nefarian. Like, that's not a good thing.
No, that's poor.
Yeah, when you're one of the tank healers, that's really exceedingly poor.
Yeah, that's not a good thing. No matter who you are or what you're doing, you know, you're a vital part of the raid, but it's especially bad if you are a healer or a tank.
And yeah. Then a tank healer, just a day. It doesn't get worse than that.
exactly.
Yeah, so I sat myself out of a couple of our, you know, farm encounters, let other people get a chance to go in so that I don't wipe us on easy content for us. On Chimeron, actually, I lagged it up pretty hard in the very beginning of the fight, and so I lost our balance druid. Whoops. Yeah.
Yeah, they got heals. Come on.
They can. Nope. They should heal.
You tell me that you don't have a heal? Get that renew on your cast bar.
it was a good time. And then on Sunday, Magic, you were tanking on your pally for a while.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, what the hell? Let's see if we can even queue together with me on my mage. He was like 44 and I was 37. And so I log on to my mage and I've got the shoulders, I've got the chest, I've got the dread pirate ring, and I've got the new cloak that you can get. Plus, I had full rested for a level and a half. Plus, the guild experience bonus.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Here's a Rack question. Here's a question, Stony. Would you spend the extra money to purchase the correct class cloak? Or, if you had already purchased, for example, the agility cloak, would you just wear it on your mage for the 10%?
I have all three class cloaks. I have every BOA item except for the rings that you get from the fishing contest, because I've never done the fishing contest.
Wow.
So would I? Yes. Have I?
Damn it.
Everything.
Outvoted
Meter.
Again.
I win. So
anyway.
So we queued up and we got Alderman, and that was pretty horrific. I mean, it went well, but it's Alda, so who really wants to go do that?
Yeah.
So
Alda again.
Yeah. I dinged 38 pretty quick because I was almost there anyway. But then 38 went by, I'm not joking, in 18 minutes played.
That seems fair.
That was probably the best thing that occurred to me this week. Like, honestly, it was a lot of fun. So I got my mage up to 41. And Madge, what's your pally at?
I think the pally is a 46. No, 45. I think 45. I didn't do much leveling through, like, Olda or any of the instances we did, unfortunately, just because they were a little low. I'm pretty close to 46, I believe.
Very cool. I gotta say, it's really weird to do Scholomance at, like, 40. That's really hideously strange.
Yeah.
Fun, but it's strange.
It's awesome, because it's pretty much the exact same instance it used to be.
Yeah, it really is. Like, I love that the alchemy lab is still down there in Rass's room. I love that gambling's still the end boss. I love that you still have that aura of crap on Alexei Barov. Like, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
So how about you, Stoney? What did you do that was fun or whatever this last week?
Let's see here. You know, raid-wise, it was Heroic Magma. Let me flip back through my notes here. Yes, Heroic Magma. And what did we do on Thursday? Oh, yes, Heroic Magma.
What did we do on Sunday? I see a pattern developing.
Yeah, give you two guesses, Heroic Magma being one of them. Oh, my God. Yeah, so it was an interesting raid week for Big Crits. It was a very different and unusual raid week for us. We just did Heroic Magma. I mean, literally, we did Omnitron Defense System on regular, worked on Heroic Magma all Tuesday, all Wednesday, all Thursday, and almost all of Sunday. We did pop over to do Heroic Hafiz because that's easy farm content. We eventually flipped it to regular on Magma and went to Chimeron, and I think I had pretty much exhausted everyone at that point, and we ended up wiping on Heroic Chimeron 3 or 4 times, and I decided to just call it. So we ended up killing 3 bosses this week. It was not a banner week. There's actually a group of people that are going in to raid tonight to finish up the instances to just clear out the rest of that content. But yeah, raid wise, it was a down week for us, I have to say. But otherwise, though, I actually started a new job on Thursday. In real life.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And so I live and work in New York City, and I've been in tech staffing for the last 6 or 7 years, and I started with a new company called K-Force, and I'm going to be going out and bringing new big accounts, signing on new big accounts for them, and then hand them off to account managers to do the day-to-day placement business. So I'm really excited about the spot. And yeah, I spent all Thursday and Friday in there, you know, reading corporate manuals, and you know, I sat through, you know, and what's great is about these corporate training things is, you know, they've got videos for everything now, you know, these training videos. And so in their particular, you know, ERP, CRM software, there's a feature where you can create your own folders and then save either companies or jobs or candidates or whatever to these folders. So there was a 9-minute video about how to use folders.
Wow.
So nice. If you have any folder questions, you just let me know. I got Excellent. You covered.
Wow. That's impressive.
In any Thank dire you. Folder yes. emergencies,
yes.
I know who to put at the top of the contact list.
Exactly.
Stoney is your man.
Yep. Excellent.
Yep.
Sounds like a fun week.
Yeah. Oh, man. My week, I guess I didn't even have the excitement of the dog sitting. I don't know. I played a bit. I did a lot of paladin leveling. I played pretty early on, like, Saturday morning. I always am up at, like, 7 doing solo tanking, which is awesome. Because I hit the button, and it makes the noise for the queue. And then before the noise finishes, the noise for the new group pops up. Awesome.
Yeah.
God, I love tanking. It is so much fun. And the queue times are just insane.
Tank queues are sick.
Yeah. So yeah, I went through a few of them with you, and that was a lot of fun. I'm hoping my paladin can get through my dead zone of level 43 to 45, where I think 3 of my alts currently lay dead and not played for about a year and a half. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, when's the last time you played your hunter?
Yeah, years? Maybe? a hunter and a warlock, and I think there's one other in that area, and I do not know what happens right around that level. I admit, you know, it was Tenaris. I think Tenaris killed my characters.
Mm.
Terrible.
Blame the goblins.
Yeah. And, yeah, I haven't played too much of my priest in PvP. I don't know. It just hasn't been as gripping recently. I haven't been wanting to do it as much. Just been playing the paladin when I've had time. And I guess I've still been awaiting death by by execution on the Atromedes trap. I don't know what it is.
I swear to God, one of these days it's going to hit you and we're just going to let you die.
Yeah, that's you'll have to be like, everyone wait, everyone cut DPS and watch magic die.
It'll be great.
Wait, magic, do they do that to you too in your guild?
Cuz yeah,
I get a lot of how can we kill Stony?
Yes, that is pretty much the game. It is, how can they kill me? Because I have a tendency to try and invis when we're wiping, and people will make a point to both stand on top of me and heal me and try and pull me out of cloak as often as possible.
Life grip you, yeah.
Yes. Wait,
are you a rogue?
I am not.
Oh, okay, all right. Because you said invis, but then cloak, and so I wasn't sure which it was. So
No, it is indeed invis.
Because if you're a rogue, we'd have words. I don't like rogues, but right.
I don't either, so it's okay.
All right.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I guess not too much overly exciting, and I eagerly await next raid week.
Yeah, as do I. It's going to be very, very exciting. And we'll move into our hotfix segment. The big news of the last week or so is that 4.1 is already up on the PTRs, and with it come the return of ZG, Zul'Gurub, and ZA, Zul'Aman. They're coming back as five mans, and
awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. I'm kind of sad that ZG like went the way of the dodo, basically, because it was my first real raid, and I really do. I really miss the instance. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. As a five man. On Twitter, Maticus from World of Maticus was tweeting that he was doing a live stream of ZG. So I tune in only to find that he's dead and he can't find the instance portal.
Nice.
It's like, okay, so that was thrilling. But basically it's because he was in an improper phase because he had quests. So he had to like drop all of his quests and then he could find the instance portal. But yeah, it was pretty funny because he's like, I don't understand. Where's the instance portal? It should be here. I know this. I've done this death run like 1,000 times before. I know that there's one right here, but it wasn't there.
Huh. Did they, is the instance portal for ZA, I assume, is still the same, but for ZG, are they returning the portal itself to where you went into the instance?
I think so, yeah. Judging from what I was seeing from Maticus's live stream, he was like jumping up and down in the spot where it's always been, right by those doors.
Yeah.
So I really think it's just a matter of being in a different phase. So like after you do certain quests, then it probably reopens up as a dungeon for you.
I guess the other question would be, are they putting the top back on it?
I don't think so. I think that depending on the phase that you're in, you're going to have the outdoor content area available to you, and then if you're in a different phase, then you can actually zone in. At least that's my understanding of it.
Interesting.
But, like, things are going to be different. Like Vinoxus does different stuff, and I'm not
that's
really
sad.
Sure what to do with that.
I heard ZA is supposed to be pretty much the same, right? But ZG is going to be pretty well retooled.
I think so. I haven't done a whole lot of reading on it, but I do know that on Bloodlord Mandicure, you're still not going to want to release because you do get rezzed like you used to.
Okay. Well, that was a cool mechanic.
That was, although all those deaths and the dinging. Like, I really hope that Jindo's around and that he still yells grats every time Mandicure dings. That would be awesome.
I guess they'll have to shrink the size of the overall place just because running and trash was... you'd be in that instance for an hour, like 2 hours, if it would to be the same size.
But you can mount, or at least you could, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Are you talking ZG?
Yeah.
Yeah, ZG was just, I mean, for a 20-man raid, it was massive.
Yeah.
Absolutely massive. I mean, granted, all the raids back then were massive. There's no two ways about it, but man, they crammed so much in there. Like, there was all these little, like, you turn a corner and you'd have to make two lefts and a right and go up the hill and then, take the second left to get to the next boss. It was, and of course, it's trash all the way.
Oh, yeah.
But I've always loved troll content, and I loved ZG back in the day, and I just absolutely, absolutely loved ZA for its time, and worked hard on that with a group, with a dedicated group of people, and we were not in a very good, this is pre big crits, we were not in a very aggressive guild. We only raided 3 days a week, and so we didn't get a whole heck of a lot done, and ZA was kind of an additional thing, and we weren't very well geared, but man, we went in there and we just worked on it and worked on it and worked on it, and we earned it, man. I mean, when we beat that place, and I'll tell you, it helped that it was troll content, but it also helped that there was that the timer effect of trying to beat the next boss. I mean, like, great, we beat it, but now we've got to go and beat the next boss in time. Yeah. It was such an awesome concept. I really loved that. I had such a great time with that.
Yeah, I also led another 10-man group of just like pushing the ZA content as well, and just like experiencing there were a whole bunch of really cool like tricks to the fights, and just learning everything was awesome. It was a really cool new instance to add.
Yeah.
And meanwhile,
Mojo the Frog was a good time.
Meanwhile, I was definitely not a fan of 10-man content at the time. I had my hands full with the 25s, and I didn't want to, you know, deal with the stress of like healing through a 10-man timed event thing. So I basically just like let Madge and them run away with it, and they did a great job. I know that Madge did a lot of the preliminary legwork for actually getting the bosses down, and then another officer of ours, Dayton, went in and picked up after Madge had to take a step back in the game, and he basically led his group through getting like 9 Amani Warbearers.
Oh, that's awesome.
He is the only one who did not get a bear himself.
Oh, wow.
So I feel bad for Dayton, but yeah. At the time, it was great content, and I kind of feel bad that I wasn't really into it, but maybe I'll enjoy the 5-man version more.
Oh, I hope so. That was a really good instance. I guess the other big patch notes are Ragnaros has legs.
So not cool.
You're not a fan of the rag legs?
I am not a fan. No, I think that it was weird for Rag not to have legs, I guess, in the beginning, but it sort of made sense because he sort of rose out of the lava, right?
Sure, yeah. He's an elemental.
Exactly. So, like, I was okay with that. Like, at first, I thought it was weird, but then I'm like, okay, well, it makes sense. He doesn't even move during the fight. That's fine. Same with Murmur in, what was it? One of those dungeons.
Oh, it was Ogendun. It was yes. Or something.
Ogendun. Yes, you're right. It was
Shadow Labs.
Shadow Labs.
Yep,
that's
the other Shadow Labs. Yep.
Yeah. So I mean, like, I was okay with those models, and in fact, I grew used to it. In fact, I even have the little Ragnaros pet that one of my friends gave me. So, you know, I'm very used to Rag not having legs, and I'm fine with that now. But now that he has legs, according to the PTR graphic, I'm just like, no, this is like the wrongest thing ever. Like, no, this is unacceptable.
It's interesting, and the Daily Blink most recent comic was hilarious, as there were other concepts of random things with legs, such as Hakar with feet, or what else is Cthulhu?
Yogg with legs, with big bird legs. Yeah,
that's hilarious.
Words can't properly describe how much how hilarious this is. So we'll put a link in the show notes because it is very funny.
Exactly, you've got to go check it out.
Oh yeah,
you know, but I agree with you, Kern, that you know. He shouldn't have legs. I mean, he's an elemental. He's from another plane. You know, who knows what, you know, how they exist on the elemental plane. But I'm sure that they don't walk around on bad chicken legs. But, you know, like, to me, it would be perfectly acceptable to continue to have a boss that just doesn't have legs. It is the typical elemental boss. I don't know. Or even if they want to reskin him from, you know, from the waist up there, I think it's a pretty cool skin up until you get to, until you start going.
Yeah.
The legs.
Down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and it's not like a coding issue, right? Because you've got the djinn over in Conclave or Throne of the Four Winds, which move and they don't have legs. Right. So I don't know what the deal is there. The interesting thing that I noticed about the patch notes, and I don't really want to get into the whole patch note thing, but they didn't really mention the 4.1 raid, which has me a little concerned. Well, not concerned. It's probably just not quite ready for testing, hopefully. But not even a mention of, you know, coming soon, the Firelands. So.
Yeah, I'm glad that it wasn't, because that gives me hope that there is still plenty of time before the patch comes out, because I want to go 13-13 hard modes before the next patch comes out. You know, I really want to try and clear content while it's still exactly relevant, shall we say. And, you know, when I saw the 4.1 go up on the PTR, I thought, oh my God, not again. The clock is ticking. And, you know, I want to, you know, we're not nearly as far along as I want to be. And so it's like, oh, okay, wait, they don't even have Firelands up there yet. Maybe it's just a teaser. maybe they're just, you know, teasing us with it, and it'll be another 2 months, 3 months. Who knows? I don't know. What is the normal PTR time? I feel like there was a study once on that.
There may have been. I like to think that there's about 2 to 2.5 months with a large content patch like this. It could be anywhere from 6 to 10 weeks, depending on how much content they're putting in. And if they're putting in like a new raid, then I think that we'll have sufficient time. I'm personally estimating early to mid May for the 4.1 to drop. But like that's just my gut instinct. I don't know if I'm right.
You heard it here first, folks. Hold her to it.
Definite thanks, date.
Yeah, yeah.
May 7th, 2011.
Yeah. I guess we'll see. Hopefully they don't make it the content, quote-unquote, irrelevant too quickly, just because, yeah, like you said, we're not nearly as far as I'd hope with seeing a new tier already.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, we're still, like, 10 of 12 right now, and you guys are what, Stony, you're 2 of 13?
Yes, on 25s, 2 of 13.
And the 10s have you beat? They're 3 of 13 right now?
That is correct. That is correct. Actually, hang on a second. Are they 4 right now? Are they 4 of 13? Hang on, let me... I'm trying to remember now. Because they did just beat... they did just get somebody down. Who the heck did they get down? Let me see here. I think it was... Did they get Meloriac down? All right, I'm gonna have to go and check on that. Boy, I'm a bad GM. I should know this. I'm trying to think if that's who they got down, but
I know that they had Chimeron, Halifus, and Atromedes.
Yes, yeah, those definitely for sure. But somehow, for some reason, I have that stuck in my head that they have Meloriac.
Well, you can check on that on the break, and we'll be right back with a big crits update.
Stony will promises to be a better GM.
And with that, we'll move on over to slash raid. I guess our past raiding week. Well, I guess we've talked about our past couple raiding weeks. Sadly, we didn't have a podcast last week, but we're up to 10 of 12. Yay!
Hooray! Right.
Excellent. Congrats.
Thank you.
So,
what do you have left? What do you have left standing?
Oh god, Alakir and Nefarian.
Alakir is not that bad.
I think my entire guild would beg to differ.
Well, but, we have one night of attempts on him under our belt, so it's not like we've pushed it too hard. Yeah. Nefarian's a different tale, however.
Nefarian, in my experience, comes down to having awesome tanks. And if you guys want to talk strat, I'll be happy to talk strats with you and tell you what we did. And you know, anything I can do to help you out, let me know.
Very cool, thank you. We did get him down to 22% last night.
Oh, sweet.
Which was pretty awesome. Unfortunately, one of the ads on the pillars didn't get all the way down. For some reason, we were under the impression that they despawned or whatever, but apparently they don't. And so people who were still up there when Neff landed for phase 3, they got ruined by the cowardice thing. And then that just wrecked our attempt. But we still got him down to 22%, which was very exciting.
Excellent. Excellent. You know, that's the thing with, now that you've hit that, you know, it's always like, once your guild and your raiders see that you can get to that level, then they know that in, you know, subconsciously, and it just becomes easier, and it becomes the new bar, and everybody will now get back to that point. And now it's like, okay, all right. We got to 22%. We got to 20%. We know we can get there. Now we can just get back there, and then we can worry about the last 20%. You know, that sometimes you can't take it all at once. You just got to clear hurdles one chunk at a time.
Yeah, for sure. Like our first night of attempts, I'm like, okay, this is what happens in phase 1. Let's worry about phase 2 mm-hmm. later. Of course, mm-hmm. on like the first pull, we get to phase 2. It's like, nice. Oh, crap.
Uh-oh. So what's this? Oh, lava. Delicious.
Yeah, it's been a good couple of weeks for us, really.
Yeah, it's good to just see. It's definitely been progressing. Like when you're doing the same fight over and over, and you're not seeing percentages change, then it can get really frustrating. But ending a night with 22% or something down around that shows that even though it's not quite refined, it can be tweaked to, you know, just result in a kill.
Yep.
Yeah, it reminds me a bit of our like 4% wipes on Gruul back in the day. You know the sort of heartbreaking, soul crushing wipes.
Soul crushing 1% wipes.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, like Leothris the Blind. I don't know how many 1% wipes we had on that jackass.
I'll tell you, you know, just now nowadays, I mean, I played Enhancement all through, starting in Burning Crusade, and, you know, those Burning Crusade was just hate on melee was the theme. And especially being Enhancement, not having a threat drop, not even having, anything to even shrug off threat, a fight like Gruul's was hell sometimes.
Yeah.
Where I would just have to stop and just run out of range because the second and the third tank, and same thing with Void Reaver for a while too, tanks, two more tanks need to get threat and stay up on threat, but the only way they can get threat is by having rage, and the only way they can get rage is by getting hit, but they're not getting hit because only the main tank is getting hit. It was like, what? Yeah. So they would just turn around and be like, oh, second highest on threat, Stony Baby. Oh,
yeah,
man.
Our Enhancement Shaman back in the day, Duper, he would just die constantly in Hyjal, like just always dead. It's like, oh, look, somebody died. Oh, it's just Duper. Don't worry about it.
We'll have to move on, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's see. And Stony, we have an update from you regarding your 10-man progression.
Yes, 4 of 12, 4 of 13.
Excellent.
Just happened now. No, actually, it. I was sure that they got Meloriac, but the problem was that I didn't update my website. So, bigcrits.com progression is now updated, and yes, and they got Meloriac on, I think, Wednesday night.
Excellent. Well, congrats to them.
Yeah. You know, Salty's doing a great job. I mean, he's a great raid leader, and he's really put a lot of work into the tens, and it's tough to run a 10-man group. I mean, you really have to optimize the comp. Every single person has to pull their weight, and if you're not pulling your weight, then the whole raid is hurting. Whereas, with a 25-man, I'm not telling you guys anything that you don't already know, or the listeners anything that they don't already know. You know, we've got 30 people that are available to raid, and it's like, well, let me pull out, I want 3 Preet's Healing instead of 3 Resto Druids, or, let me see here. Do I want 3 mages or 3 hunters or 3 warlocks, or do I want a stack melee, or I can pull people out and put people in, and you can make up a comp, and somebody's having a bad night. It's like, well, you screwed up 5 times in a row, I'm pulling the plug on you, on a progression fight. Put somebody else in. With a 10-man team, he runs with 10, maybe 11 people on his 10-man roster. And if one person doesn't make it, he needs to either borrow somebody from me or pull somebody from his kind of like his bench team. So it's, it's everybody, and then when one person's having an off night, everybody suffers. You can't just pull the person and be like, sorry, you're having a bad night. You're going to have to sit. Who are you going to replace it with? There's nobody. So it's, but maybe that's it. Maybe he chooses to run a little differently, but he does a good job with it, obviously.
Yeah, clearly, if they're overtaking you guys.
What is that, a dig?
No.
Never.
I come on here to get insulted. No, it's all good. I can take it.
All right, and now we'll head into our Guild Tab segment. Generally, this is where we interview our guest, who is generally a member of our guild. And so we ask them, about their tune and why they joined Apotheosis and all that fun stuff. But this week, obviously, our special guest is Stony, and he's not part of our guild, sadly. But
own guild. Maybe you've heard of it.
just a little guild.
Kind of a big deal.
Stony, as previously mentioned, is the guildmaster of Big Crits, a horde raiding guild over on the Sengen server. Stony, you put Big Crits together about a year ago now or so, yeah?
Funny you should ask. We're actually coming up on our one-year anniversary. My original post was on March 9th, and the guild formed a week later. Our first raid, I posted on the 9th, and our first raid was on the March 16th. So starting on the 9th and running through the 16th, we're having contests and giveaways on both bigcrits.com and our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/bigcritsguild.
Excellent. Nice plug.
Yeah, thank you. So coming up on a year.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. And even though you got a sort of a late start in ICC content, because I mean, March, by that point it had been out for like 3, almost 4 months at that point.
Yep.
Despite that, you still cleared out ICC 25 on Heroic and got Heroic Halion down all before Cataclysm came out. In fact, I think your Halion kill was the night before 4.0 dropped.
That is correct. Guilty as charged.
Epic. Better late than never, man.
Yeah, yeah. And if you guys haven't, you have listeners haven't seen the show, that Heroic Halion episode is, I think, is my second favorite episode of all times, with the Heroic Lich King kill being my number one favorite. And I think Halion was episode 8, and Lich King was definitely episode 10 of season 2.
Good stuff.
They're definitely worth checking out.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about you and your tune. You currently play an enhancement shaman. Let's hear a little bit about the sort of behind the scenes of Stony Baby.
Sure. All right. Let's see here. I'll try and give you the condensed version, because I'm not very good at giving condensed versions. So if I start talking too much, you could just interrupt me and go, I'll get the picture. See, look, I'm already giving a too long of an introduction. Okay, I started playing WoW as a druid. Had no freaking clue what I was doing, but I loved it, and I was balance with a tanking mace, and I was a meleeing balance druid, and I hit max level and joined a raiding guild, and they said, "You're a druid, you're a healer." I said, "Okay." And I went resto, and I loved it. I had a great time healing. I just loved healing in Molten Core as a druid. And you know, when Burning Crusade came out, I leveled. Excuse me. I joined a different guild because the one that I was in fell apart. And I leveled as Balance and Feral. I hit 70, and I went resto and rolling hots on tanks at 70 in Karazhan was pointless. Resto druids didn't have a res. They only had battle res. And so if you died in an instance with a resto druid healing you, you had to run back. And it was, and also Botanica trash used to respawn if you didn't kill a new boss every 30 minutes. Huh. And so you could be halfway into Botanica, you're knees deep in Botanica and in Heroic Botanica, and the tank dies and your battle res is down and everybody has got to die and start back at the beginning with all the trash respawned. I was like, screw this. I'm making a shaman. I'm going enhance. And I leveled Stony. I power leveled Stony and just have not looked back. I've been enhanced since more or less early Burning Crusade. And, you know, I always joke that my main spec is enhance and my off spec is enhance.
Nice.
Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, my pally is holy, holy dual, and it's really making me very sad. I feel like a failure of a hybrid.
I was about to say, she technically is holy as main and off spec. So,
nice.
Yeah.
I respect that, especially that you're a holy paladin. They're hard to come by. Good ones, anyway.
Yeah, that is true. My last guild is still seeking to replace me and the other holy pally I sort of took with me to go for my guild. I'm sorry,
nice Doug. Job.
Go to choiceguild.com. If you're a holy pally, they are seeking good ones.
Choice blood.
Actually, Big Crits is also looking for a holy paladin right now, so I'm just saying.
There you go.
Sorry to whoever your ex-guild was.
It's all good. I've given them several plugs over the last couple months.
Oh, forever. Okay.
So what's your favorite memory in WoW, would you say?
You know, I think that that's a really tough one. You know, the first thing that jumps out in my mind is killing Heroic Halion, because we worked on that for so long, and we basically rebuilt the raiding team as we were working on that, and that, you know, makes it even harder to kill a boss when you've got to bring on new people and try them out, and some are good and some aren't good and some get along and some don't. But I'm going to have to go with killing Heroic Halion is right now my favorite memory in WoW. Now, I don't know, or should I say BlizzCon? Because BlizzCon was awesome. Getting to meet and party with the guys that I raid with and the people that I know. I don't know if that counts, but in-game Heroic Halion kill.
Excellent. I do remember watching the shows as you guys were building up to that, and it's like, oh wow, are they actually going to get Heroic Halion 4.0? And so it was really neat to sort of be able to watch you guys progress and sort of feel that thrill of victory when you guys actually did get it down. So I mean, that came through really clearly through the episode. So
awesome.
I can totally understand that. Normally, this is where I would ask you why you joined Apotheosis, but since you have not joined Apotheosis
yet.
I'll just ask you why you formed Big Crits exactly.
You know, I had this idea of showing the world what it's like in a raiding guild behind the scenes, and I guess I was working on the idea for a long time, just mulling it over and thinking about what I wanted to do with it, and it got to a point where I had to do it, where it was burning a hole in me. Like, if I didn't go out and do this and do it right now, I just knew that somebody else was going to do it, and I was going to be pissed because somebody else did it and when I should have done it. And I get crazy ideas like this a lot, and I go out and I do them, and some are mediocre, and some are really good, and some are really bad. So I think Big Crits was one of the better ideas that I've had, and it's been a lot of work. But, I mean, I formed it because I really wanted to tell the story of raiders, of the real people behind the raiders. And a year on, I think in some ways I'm just now starting to accomplish that vision in this season. And I didn't do a very good job in season one, which took place from May to August. You know, I didn't do a very good job of telling the real story, because there was actually some really big drama that happened in our guild, and I kind of talked about some of it, but I kind of skimmed over some of it, and I was more of being a GM than being a producer of a show. So coming up in this season, we're doing a lot more about the people individually, the drama that's actually happening in the guild, dealing with real life, as well as as well as in-game stuff.
Yeah, I've noticed that. Like, we heard a bit more about Salty and Furioso in the early episodes here of season 3. And I know I, for one, I'm always curious to know where people's motivations come from, where their issues are coming from. I'm a sociologist, so I kind of do. But yeah, I always really enjoyed the people's takes. Like, throughout the history of the show, I've really enjoyed how people talk about the raids and give their impression of what happened, and how the mood was of the raid. Like, I really thought that was a really nice component, but I also really do enjoy finding out more about Furioso and Salty and all the other raiders as well.
Yeah, so that's something that we want to do a little bit more of. Now, the episode's coming out tomorrow. We actually didn't get the real life section in, so we're going to have an extra long real life section with the next episode. But
Good stuff.
I guess our next question would be, what do you enjoy doing in-game besides raiding?
I like to go and queue up for BGs and run some battlegrounds with some friends. Can only take battlegrounds in spurts, because eventually I start taking it too seriously, and then I start getting really angry, and especially if we go and we lose, then I find myself turning into, the classic greater internet F-wad theory person who just starts spewing off profanities in / BG chat and talking trash and being a general jerk. But when that starts to happen, then it's time to stop doing that. I don't know. Raiding really is what I love, what I absolutely love to do, and what I get the most satisfaction out of. Outside of that, I'll go and run some old stuff and try to challenge ourselves. The other night, we three-manned Naxxramas, 10-man Nax, and that was a lot of fun, just trying to figure out how a paladin, a priest, and a shaman can get through that. But for the most part, raiding is what I do and what I enjoy.
I feel very, very similarly.
Yeah. And then being a GM, Kern, I'm sure you know how this goes. You pop on and you've got things that you need to deal with.
Oh yeah, I don't even need to log on to get things to deal with.
What was your PM count? I think mine was 50 or 45, oh, maybe 40.
No, I've got 796 private messages in my inbox at the moment.
Exactly.
I like to keep records of everything, so that I can, be like, no, 3 weeks ago you said this. Alrighty, so our fifth question is generally a quirky question based on the guest. I apologize that this isn't all that quirky, but I know that you spent a while playing as Alliance, so I gotta ask, why Horde? Why did you make Big Crits a Horde guild? And I don't want to hear any of that because the Horde rules crap either.
I have an answer for you, because My opinion, my view is that Alliance will faction change to Horde as a general rule, but also as a general rule, Horde will not faction change to Alliance.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's my impression. Is that that's a little bit more of a one way street than maybe you would that an outside observer would think. And I've only had one person that contradicted me on that so far. Now I don't make that very widely known, but I'd be interested in your listeners' feedback. You know, would they faction change to be a part of, you know, to be a part of something like Big Crits, or to be a part of, you know, a who knows what, you know, whatever it is that you want to do in game. If you could achieve all of your in-game objectives, would you faction change for it? Would you go from Alliance to Horde?
Go ahead.
What about you guys?
Well, I personally would never do it. I would rather throw myself off of, I don't know, Loch Modan than ever do that. That's super geeky.
yes.
But it's
yes,
really
it
weird.
Was.
I've gotten a whole bunch of people, because Apotheosis, I'm not sure if you know our history, but we raided together in BC and then basically took Wrath off and then have reformed Forcata. So I've gotten a whole bunch of people who have faction changed to be a part of Apotheosis, and I'm kind of pleased about that. I mean, my holy priest right now used to be a Resto Druid, a Tauren Resto Druid, and so there's this little group of people in my guild that are at heart Hordies. I don't know how to deal with that exactly, because I'm diehard Alliance.
I will say that I do, on Finn, my druid, who's now a troll because I hated being a Tauren, I do miss being a druid. A night elf. To me, you know, a night elf is, you know, a night elf druid is a perfect match, and I do miss being a night elf on my druid. But otherwise, I love being a troll on Stony.
Fair enough. What about you, Madge? Would you ever faction change?
I can't think of anything besides if, you know, any of the people I really enjoy playing with were saying, yeah, I would do that, then I'd be down for it. But I don't really have allegiances necessarily to either at this point.
You suck.
I'm the worst.
Diplomacy, every man for himself. I mean, although I will give you this, Stony, War Stomp on worshipping on Cho'Gall has got to be the most hacks ever.
Mm. Or how about
Arcane Torrent
yeah. is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of good racials for that.
Yep.
But Diplomacy. Overpowered since BC. Yay.
That's true.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Diplomacy is insane.
And with that, we'll move into our general chat segment, and this week's topic is raid progression. Back in vanilla, there were a lot more, you know, linear instances than there are today. You went to Molten Core, you killed Lucifron, then Magmadar, then Gehennis, made your way over to Gar and Geddon and Shazra, then took on Sulfuron, down Golemag, tangled with Majordomo, and finally Ragnaros himself. And then once you did that a few times, you started looking at Blackwing Lair. And after BWL, you moved on to AQ40, and once you were done with that, you could go play in Naxxramas. And somewhere in there, you could take down Onyxia, play in Zul'Gurub, and also hang out in AQ20.
Huh.
But things...
Hang out, huh?
Hang... Well, whatever. I never cleared the instance, so shush.
Gotcha.
Things are not quite so easily laid out these days. We've got 6 bosses in Blackwing Descent, 4 bosses in Bastion of Twilight, or 5 on Heroic, and 2 bosses in Throne of the Four Winds. So the question arises, when you start raiding and when you start progressing, where do you go first or next? Since Stony and the Big Crits gang are now 2 of 13 in 25-man Heroics, they obviously know a little bit about how to progress in the game. So, Stony, I think my first real question here is, how do you personally decide where to go for progression next? Do you have any sort of process that helps you along the way?
Yeah, I think that we follow the process, or we try to follow the process that most people do, and that's you look to see what global and U.S. boss kills look like. And so that's, you know, so then you get an idea, well, okay, you know what? 1,000 people have killed Heroic Conclave of Winds, or 1,000 guilds have killed Heroic Conclave of Winds, or I don't know what the count is up to now, you know, but only 200 people have taken down, Heroic Magma, for example, or something along those lines. So you get your ideas that way. I also try to follow, you know, stay in touch with what the more progressed people in the Twitter community are doing. Feist the Rogue. If you guys don't follow Feist the Rogue, you definitely should. He's one of the more prolific WoW Twitter people, and you know, his guild, I think they're, it's midwinter on Ysera, and I forget what their progression is up to, but they're way up there. I mean, we're hardly anywhere. We're not even close, you know, to what those guys are doing there. If they're not working on Sinestra yet, they probably will be soon, or if they haven't already killed her, I wouldn't be surprised. So, you know, I stay in touch with what he's doing, and I trust his advice a lot. You know, you want to ask other people what other people are doing and why they're doing it. So, you know, for example, when they were working on Heroic Valion and Thralion, all he did, his Twitter stream was just filled with profanities. occasionally, you know, accented by purple dragons, bleep, 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 bleep. And that was like his Twitter stream for a week or two straight. And I was like, yeah, we are not going anywhere near that for a long time. So
I hear you on that.
Yeah. And for us, though, it's been a little bit ass backwards, I have to say, unfortunately. And I blame myself for why we are only 2 of 12 and not, say, 3 or 4 of 12. And here's kind of the short story on what happened. You know, everybody knows that you go for Heroic Hafiz first. That's just generally accepted to be the first easiest, the first thing that you take on. And that's a fun fight. If you can get through those first 2 minutes, you pretty much can get through the whole fight. And it's even a little bit easier now, I think. But regardless, you know, you go and you do Heroic Hafiz. And so we got that down. And then the next thing that we wanted to accomplish was I had heard from Feist or from somebody else that there was creative use of game mechanics, shall we call it, on Heroic Atremides. And so that was when you could go all the way out to the peninsula where the bell was, and you could stand on the lip, and the sonic burst would actually bounce off the lip and reflect backwards. And so as long as you stood on the lip, you never had to worry about the sonic blasts.
Oh, dear.
All you had to do was have a kiter all the way out at the gongs already and have that person ready to hit a gong for Searing Flame and move out of the pings, the sonic pings as they come towards them, which is easy for one person to do with a 60-yard advanced notice. You know, and you would just deal with the parries, you know, as melee, and the hunters would stand way off to the sides, and everybody else would just stand right in the freaking middle. And the night that I took Big Crits into Heroic Atremides to go and use this strat, they literally hot fixed it as we're in the instance.
Oh, man.
They hot fixed it, and well, maybe it was like that day. They hot fixed it, and we went in that night, and I didn't learn about the hot fix until after we got in there. And it was the whole lip strategy was completely outdated at that point. It was just completely worthless. And so we tried to adapt it, and then we adapted the adaption, and we adapted the adaptation, and we continued to adapt and adapt and adapt and work on it. And you have to, we have a phrase that Susan and I both love to beat into the ground, and that's it. You have to be sure that you have to make the difference between bad strategy or bad execution. And you can't throw something out the window because it didn't, you can't throw a strategy out the window because it didn't work the first time. And you don't wipe to a strategy and then go, let's have a 30-minute conversation and change everything. You go, okay, I don't think that we executed that properly. We need to just get back in there, reset, rebuff, and give that another go. And then you can have conversations about it. But we basically did this and did iteration after iteration after iteration for probably two or three raid nights, not consecutively. At one point after working on it for like one or two, for a full night, we were like, all right, let's just skip this and move on. We'll come back to it. We did that two or three times. And then at that point, we've wasted that time on progression, and we decided to throw Atremides out the window. And then we went and worked on Chimeron, which was which we identified as going to be our next target, which was, again, going back to looking to see what other people are doing, looking to see what progression looks like for other bosses. And we said, okay, now we're going to do, since we already did Hafiz, that's what most people have killed, then we'll do Chimeron, which the second most number of people have killed. Then we'll do Conclave, which is the third most number that people will, you know, have killed. Then we'll do Meloriac, and then we'll worry about it after that. And that was kind of the order that we set out. And then nerfs came to Heroic Magma. Not significant nerfs, but just enough that we decided that we would go and give Heroic Magma a shot. And even with the nerfs, it's still a very difficult fight on heroic. And again, we tried one strategy and we continue to refine it and refine it and refine it and refine it and refine it. And we're over 140 pools on heroic magma. Now, it seems very big because most of the pools are under 3 minutes. Most of them are about 2 minutes long. So we've put a lot of work into heroic magma at this point, and I think we're almost there. We're at a point where I don't want to give up the ship. I want to kill it because we've invested so much into it. But it's like, now you have to decide, do we throw in the towel and put all that on pause and then go work on something new? Or do we just say we're 90% there? Actually, we're 70% there, literally speaking. Yeah. We've got them down to 30%, a number of times, got them down to 20% a couple of times. Can't we just push it a little bit further? And so that's kind of where we are right now.
That sounds kind of brutal. 140 pulls on magma, spending a whole week basically on magma. It's a little more than we've had to do thus far. We've extended one instance once, and that was to get our Cho'Gall kill.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Yeah, I figured it was decent, and we thought about maybe extending Blackwing for Nefarian, but because you get 25 drops that can either be used or sharded, which can also be used, we figured the 2 hours max would be sufficient, and so we still managed to get a lot of time on Nef.
Yeah, and that's another thing with progression. Then, and this is another challenge that we faced this week. And one of my raiders is Joe posted in the forums. Bessley, she's a very talented warlock. She posted and said, actually, she's a featured player on the show. She's like, you realize that we killed three bosses this week, exactly three bosses this week. And there's two problems there. One is that we decided to move our progression to Tuesdays and Wednesdays. That's when you have the best attendance, you have the most number of options, you can create that optimal comp that you want to create to go in and take on a boss. People are usually the most fresh and not completely spent. So we want to do progression on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and then do the farm stuff on Thursdays and Sundays. But what ended up happening was I'm such a dog on a bone for some things. Sorry, I swore. But I'm such a dog on a bone for some things, and I just couldn't let go of this. We just kept getting a little better and a little better and a little better. And I know that we can do it. So we did, so that hence you end up with setting stop points and just completely ignoring them. We're like, okay, we're going to stop on Thursday, and Thursday will be it, and then we're going to just wipe up everything on Sunday. And I'm like, ah, screw that. We're going to go. We'll kill heroic. We'll go kill heroic half, and then we'll come back, and we'll only work on it for 45 minutes. We'll only work on it for an hour. Okay, guys, we've been at this for an hour and 15 minutes. Just one more pull.
Just last one.
Just one more pull. Yeah, yeah. So, and what ended up happening was I alluded to this earlier in the raid. I wiped everybody out. We just drained them mentally, mentally exhausted them to the point where we couldn't even go and kill Hero Chimeron. And I don't even think we had the right setup, and I couldn't even think about it myself either. Even so, you really do have to find that balance, and you've got to be able to set those stop points if you are going to do progression early and abide by them and balance that, balance the progression with the fun.
Yeah, we've had an interesting bunch of conversations in our officer forums about what to do, what and when and where and next, and how to find that balance. And I got outvoted. I'm the GM. I shouldn't really get outvoted, but we sort of run things more by committee, and that's okay good. With that. But I got outvoted on wanting to do heroic Halthus after we got Cho'Gall down. But ultimately, the officers decided that it was more important to repeat Cho'Gall. And I'm like, okay, I will give you that for sure. But, I was kind of annoyed because I really wanted to at least take a whack at Heroic Halthus and just see where we were on that measuring stick. How much more gear and refinement are we going to need before he doesn't immediately obliterate us? I just wanted to spend a bit of time. And now that we've got Cho'Gall down twice, and it was kind of clean the last time, and now that we've spent more than a full night on Nefarian, people are like, okay, well, do we want to look at Heroic Halthus now? I'm like, oh, God, Now I really just want to kill Naf. He's at 22%.
Well, yeah, the Endwing bosses right now are so important because, you know, this comes back to what you're talking about with progression, or, you know, it's non-linear. How do you choose where to go? I think in some cases, weapons are such an important part for melee, especially. Weapons are so crucial that you need to get those Cho'Gall and Nefarian kills in to get those weapons in your raid, to get the two-handed, you know, weapons in your DKs, your reps, your Fury Warriors. You know, make sure that those guys have the big sticks that they need. The rogues have what they need. You know, the enhancement shaman get the axes that they need. You know, so I do think, you know, that when it comes, if you have the choice between going, you know, being 11 of 12 and normal modes and 1 of 12 heroic, you're probably better off, I would say, going for that Nefarian kill, getting that 12 of 12, being 12 of 12. We did it. We've cleared the content at the normal level. Now let's look at hard modes. Now, I will just temper that by saying, when you kill heroic Hafiz, it's like Christmas morning. Because there's so much freaking loot that drops off. You get 3 heroic chest tokens and then, what, 6 or 7 pieces of loot? No, 6 pieces of loot. You get 9 pieces of loot total from him. It is like, hey, Merry Christmas, ho, ho, ho. And, it's pretty funny. But no, go for those Endwing boss kills. And my other advice would be, you know, kill Al'Akir and then go, well, see you later.
Yeah.
Because even though everybody's got a ring in there that's best in slot and a waistband that's in there that's best in slot, it, you know, it's like you need of the Storm Blast and you get of the Whiz Bang, and you get 3 of the Whiz Bangs and 1 of the Gorilla, and you're like, of the Gorilla?
That still exists?
Yeah. Where did this come from? So we killed him, and I was like, sorry, guys, we won't be back here for a while. And because you can get better, you can get other items elsewhere, and just the randomness of it, it could be a complete waste, or it could be a complete field day. But odds are, it's going to end up, especially as you start farming stuff, it's just going to end up being side grades.
Yeah, it's especially as you were saying, you need to make sure you're getting people the loot that they need, and since you don't have that, even the possibility of knowing what could drop, it becomes completely not worth it, just based on the fact that you could get nothing. It could be totally worthless with regards to, you know, you could spend a whole night on it and then pop the loot pinata and nothing comes out.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Well, that was a total waste of everybody's time.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Madge, it could be of the whale.
Oh, God. I swore that if we never, I don't think I ever once killed the animal boss in Karazhan. Because I promised, I swore up and down that if an epic of the whale item dropped, I would quit the game. For good. That would be it.
Oh, Spirit Stamp. Good times.
Oh, man. God, I completely forgot about that boss. Completely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was another thing. Like, we went in there, killed it once, and we were like, well, see you later. Yeah. So, big gulps, huh?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I think the other thing with progression is, you know, when you don't need stuff, because you end up with, where we are right now is we have a bank filled with Maelstrom Crystals, and we went through last week of raiding, not this past week that we just finished, but the prior week, and disenchanted probably 20 items, did a full clear of everything except for Al'Akir, and just disenchanted the hell out of the place. And it's like, what are we doing? Like, oh my God, it's just... Hey, is anybody? Can I give this away? You know, the bank has got all the Maelstrom Crystals it need. I want to see people building offsets in case we need somebody to throw down in a pinch. I've got Grive, who's a featured player, and he's a Fury Warrior who hasn't tanked since God knows when. And, you know, we started even convinced him, because we needed a fourth tank for a couple of things, and, you know, started throwing some tank loot at him. But it's like, you know, when you get to a point when people are not taking the loot anymore, and they're not even taking it for off-spec, and now you've got the Maelstrom Crystals, and you're giving people the epic enchants that they need, then you can go, okay, you know what, it's time to take a step back and just focus on getting this one new hard mode down, or this one new thing down.
Yeah, I agree. It's a good way of noting your own progress. Like, once you really have everything you need from those bosses, like, the only thing you're still gaining are Valor points, and... I mean, at a certain point, if you've got all of your tier that you can buy everything you if you've already bought everything you need, like, what are you going to do? Buy the Valor Point boots and sell them for 15K or something? That would be nice. Yeah. But, I mean, realistically, you don't need to do that every couple of weeks or what have you.
Yep.
So let me ask you, I watched a video that I don't think is, like, it hasn't been featured in the show, but it was your Nefarian Kill video, mm-hmm. and that's what hit you 12 of 12. So you obviously decided to do Alakir and Cho'Gall beforehand. Is there anything that really pointed you towards doing those bosses before Nefarian?
I thought that we got Alakir last, because Alakir on 2-1 and Nefarian on 123. Yeah, we did. We actually did
really?
Alakir last. Yeah, it's just that we got the Defender of Shattered World for people that were there for the Nefarian kill, because we got a group of us went in on a Monday night and worked for about five or six hours. We worked until pretty late in the morning to kill Alakir on 10 man.
Okay, gotcha. Because, I noticed the title. I'm like, wow, okay, so they left Neff for last. Gotcha.
Yeah, no. We left Alakir for last. We did Neff before that. Yeah, we did Neff on 123. That's when we got him down.
Gotcha. Okay, so then why Alakir last? Is it just because it sucks, or...?
Yeah, it was two reasons. One was the loot off of Nefarian is better. You get weapons. You get helm tokens. The loot reward for time invested is much greater. And Alakir was just something that we decided we need to do this to get to be 12 of 12, so it's official. It really first and foremost was a loot issue, and then secondly, it's also a little bit of a you know, Nefarian is like the real boss here.
I totally agree.
So Nefarian was the way to go. Nefarian is not as taxing from a raid execution standpoint, raid wide execution. Nefarian requires only has one phase where it needs more than three people to be 100% on point, and that's phase two, where your interrupters and everybody getting up on the pillar. And once you get past the lip on the pillar and you figure that out, and once you get past phase two and you start working on the other things, then it really comes down to having tanks do an amazing job, especially your ad tank being on point, your ad tank healers being just executing perfectly every time, ad tank calling out for cooldowns. Like, then it becomes a tank fight, and it really will test the skill of your tanks. Alakir, you know, getting out of phase one tests everyone. And any raid fight that tests everyone is going to be more challenging, because not everybody is a top player. Not everybody's playing as hard or as well as you want them to be.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you're seeing wipes in on Nefarian, at least once you've got phase two down, for the most part, it's always your ad tank goes down. That's mm-hmm. it. That's the mm-hmm. one reason that, I mean, we're wiping, and I assume the majority of guilds are wiping at this point.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we're standing in fire.
Well, listen, that happened for like the first attempt we got to three, and then we figured it out. But I still say that pink fire on orange like floor is not helpful.
First of all, it violates my sense of good taste.
Absolutely.
What would Tim Gunn say about this? Sorry. My girlfriend makes me watch Project Runway.
Savage.
Anyway.
That came into play on a podcast about WoW. That's great. Nice use of knowledge there, Stoney.
Thank you.
Let's see. Just in general, I mean, like, I know that I also pay a lot of attention to what the basic strats are out there for the various bosses when I'm trying to decide where to go next. And, like, I obviously discuss it with the officers and stuff, but it's really, okay, is this a coordination fight? Because I'm not so sure that we have quite the coordination for this yet. Or is this an interrupt fight, which we have this down pat?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
You know, so I do also personally try to, you know, go where I believe my raid strengths are. I think I wanted to go to Atromedes early, but I didn't, because even though I wanted to see the fight, I knew that we would have some issues with the discs and the fire. So, like, I mm-hmm. held off on that. But I knew that Chimeron wasn't going to be terribly hard for us because I had a great deal of confidence in our healers.
Yeah.
So I mean, like for myself, that's a big part of, you know, where I decide to go next, or where I guess we decide to go next. Yeah. And does that really come into play for your decision making as well? And what about Salties as well in the 10 Mans?
You know, for me, again, you know, the way that we've gone after hard modes has been less than optimal. It's been a bit haphazard, as I already explained. So in the future, I think it's going to come down to following the trend and taking the path of least resistance. It's great that you know your strengths. Like, it's great that you could say we can heal, and we know that we can get through this because we've got great healers. And when you know what your strengths are, then you can play to your strengths. You know, the guild that I was in before I started Big Crits was a DPS guild, and we had to take a lot of healers into raids, and the DPS would make up for it because the DPS would just blow things up. I mean, just destroy stuff.
Nice.
And then I started Big Crits, and they're like, you want 8 healers on regular ICC? I'm like, yeah, well, you know. I'm like, yeah, no. And the healers told me, like, no, we can do this with 7, maybe even with, probably even with 6. And so I had to adjust a little bit. So, yeah, know your strengths, definitely play to your strengths. But then, really, I'd say, you know, as I said before, go out and see what other people are doing, and take that path of least resistance. But you're right. It is nonlinear. If everybody's killing heroic Atremides, but you know that your people can't move out of fire, but you know that you can count on them that once every 45 seconds that they can group up and get heals from your amazing healers, and forget about it. You know, go after Chimeron. If you've got an incredible AoE and a great ad tank kiter, your ad tank from Nefarian should be kiting the ads in heroic Meloriac. And if you've got a great ad tank kiter who's used to kiting ads, then that's who you use. And then people are used to dealing with ads. So play to your strengths. You're absolutely right. Can't argue with you there.
Yeah, it was something that I sort of came to grips with back in Wrath when I was in a different guild. I was the healing lead of a couple different guilds, actually. And in my second guild, I was actually replacing the healing lead. And they're, like, pushing all of these heroic modes. And I'm like, I am so not prepared to, like, take on all of these challenges with what you're giving me. But they're like, no, we have the DPS for this. And I'm like, are you sure? Because I don't know that we have the healing for this. And then they were like, no, it's cool. I'm like, okay. And once you know it, I mean, like, they made up for the fact that we were missing our best healer, who is the healing lead I was replacing, and with, like, obscene amounts of DPS. And
nice.
So, I mean, we were able to get through things like like heroic Syndragoza, which was painful.
But yeah. Heroic Syndragoza.
Yeah. That is, to me, like, the least favorite fight that I've probably ever experienced, ever. Mm. But I did really like how it was a little more linear than what we're seeing now. I like that we had the choice of what wings to go to, and that we didn't have to complete a wing before going to another wing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, you guys, do you know Mr. Voltron, by any chance?
Mr. Voltron? I can't say that I'm familiar now.
Yeah, he was a member of Big Crits. He was a hunter. And he makes remixes of in-game of the boss voices. He makes techno remixes.
Oh God! Did he do the In the Mountains one?
I think so.
From Ulduar, because that one I know.
Yeah.
In the mountains.
Oh yes, yeah. That's yeah. That's him. But he did a. I asked him to do a Syndragoza one, because not only does everybody hate Syndragoza, but I love the Syndragoza voiceover.
You are, like, the only one.
I'm the only one. I know. But the betrays you. It was like, oh God, it just cracks me up. So definitely go and he's on YouTube as MR Voltron, and he's on Twitter as well. But he's also a really, really amazing guy. Really, really great guy. But if you haven't subscribed to his channel on YouTube, you should definitely go subscribe to him and watch his videos, and then go to Big Crits Guild on YouTube and subscribe to us as well.
Nice plug again. Yeah, we'll put them both in the show notes for sure.
Yeah.
We're all about shameless
plugs here.
PR thing for a while, haven't you, Stoney?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What do you guys think about the introduction of hard modes in general? Since I didn't raid in Wrath, I didn't really have a huge introduction of it until now. And so, you know, it's, I love the description of the nine-piece loot pinata of heroic Halthus. But it's kind of an interesting twist on what was in both original and in BC.
No, I love it. I think it's great. In the execution, this expansion is even better than it was in Wrath. And the way that Old War hard mode loot went was interesting and challenging, but I think that it was the right idea, but the execution obviously was obviously very different. It was optional in addition to getting it, but if you don't, you get the loot anyway. You don't have to throw any switches or anything like that. I just love the way that they have the hard mode stuff set up now, where it's a deliberate choice. You see the screen change, you know that you're entering hard mode, and you know what you're about to face. And the flexible raid lockout system so far has not been too much of a problem. I do wish that we could have a little more, have the same heroic or same flexibility in heroic as you do in normal modes, because that's just a personal thing for big crits, because if I loan somebody to the 10-man team for two nights because their hunter is out, that hunter is then going to be locked out of our instance because they do hard modes in both Bastion and Blackwing. And so if they do a hard mode in Blackwing with the 10-man group, they can't come with us for anything on Blackwing with a 25-man. So it's tough to do both in a guild, but long answer to a short question, I really love the way that they implemented the hard modes.
I personally, I never really liked hard modes. In Nax, there weren't really hard modes. You had the achievements, and you had like Undying and Immortal, and I'm still cheesed off that I lost my Undying on the very last boss, Kel'Thuzad, when the off tank stood in a void zone but couldn't see the void zone because she had two adds on her. But like in Ulduar, what I liked about it was that you could trigger it through an in-game mechanic. I don't like the whole drop down menu and it's still a choice. Like I like that that's an option, but I don't like that, you know, you can't just burn through XT's heart or whatever it is to make XT go hard mode. That said, there were a lot of times where someone pushed the big red button or almost nice. Pushed the big red button, or talked to the wrong NPC to start off a Flame Leviathan. There have been mistakes, but if you look at something like the Iron Council, where you could choose to do Steelbreaker last, like I think that that's a much better way of doing the hard mode mechanic. I really appreciate those hard modes, or at least achievements or what have you, like more than just, you know, flipping a switch. I think it's more creative. But that said, I wasn't really a fan of hard modes until, I guess it was ICC, where I really got to learn how to strategize for normals versus hard modes. Like I was really included in the decision process of getting to that hard mode. So I don't like them still, because I still think it's kind of ridiculous that we're doing the same fight, you know, just like slightly or maybe insanely more difficult. And I do think that in ICC they really kind of screwed up by making a whole bunch of them really easy, then a couple of them moderately difficult, and then a couple of them really hard. I really hope that we see more sort of standardized difficulty in tier 11 content.
Gonna disagree with you there. I think that, you know, I think that the I think having some that are very challenging and very difficult makes it that much more rewarding. As long as, with the caveat being, as long as hard mode on the last Endwing boss is the most difficult, because it should be. And it shouldn't be that you clear all of the hard modes and the second to last hard mode that you do is the hardest one, and then you go kill Nefarian on heroic. You know, having the Endwing boss, or the very end boss of each dungeon or each instance, each raid, be the hardest is the way that it should be, in my opinion. But hey, we can agree to disagree.
No, I'll actually agree with you on that. Like, I think that the end bosses should absolutely be the most difficult. But I think that the difficulty difference between, say, Heroic Death Whisper and Heroic Lich King is a disgusting amount. Like, I haven't finished Heroic Witch King myself, but I've done several pulls on it, and so I just feel like the difficulty level between something like Death Whisper and Lich King is just so immense. And even Death Whisper and Syndergoza, and Death Whisper and Putrescide, I think of the gaps. If it were more of a gradual incline to Heroic Lich King, I'd be much more inclined to accept that big gap. But I think that there's a huge gap between, you know, Heroic Marigar and Heroic Death Whisper.
There definitely is. I'm surprised that you used Lady Death Whisper as your example for being the big gap, because Lady Death Whisper was the third hardest, generally considered to be the third hardest hard mode in that fight, with Syndragosa being the second and Lich King being the first hardest. Because Lady Death Whisper was a tough fight. It was one of those fights that required full raid coordination.
And Vengeful Shades sucked.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. There were so many mechanics happening at any one point in time. And every single person had to be aware of all of those mechanics. And it was a really tough fight.
Yeah, it was difficult to learn, I find, at first, but it was, I thought it was an easier repeat than things like Putrescide and Syndragosa. Like, I only killed Putrescide like 5 times and Syndragosa literally 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, whereas Death Whisper, once you got that down, once you got the rhythm of it down, once you knew to look for the shades, once you did whatever you need to do for your warnings to like warn you that the shades were incoming or what have you, like, and you knew what to do with the mind controls, it just seemed to be an easier of a repeat.
Yeah.
So it was one of the more difficult ones, obviously, but like compared to Rotface, you know, that was just easy. So it was just a sort of, the gap between Marigar and Death Whisper was like large, and the gap between, I found, Death Whisper and like Syndragosa was even larger.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course it ramped up to Lich King, and like that's okay, but it was sort of like a step thing rather than a gradual incline. And I personally would have preferred something a little more gradual, a little more, okay, well, this is like an easy one, like Marigar and Rotface, and then like, you know, maybe Fester's a little more difficult and that sort of thing. It's just my personal preference, and I think it would have made heroic modes a little, not more accessible, but more, sort of more, I don't even know what the word is, more something, more interesting, I guess, like, so that you knew roughly where you were on this scale, without like lumping like so many of them together, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
What do you think, Madge?
Well, sadly, I did know heroic things.
Were you there for our rod face call?
No, I don't think so.
Failure.
Yeah. But I don't know. I'm interested to see that. The disparity between regular and heroics, and then I guess I'll be able to, you know, make my informed decision once we start up on some of those.
Yeah, I hear heroic health is easier than regular Deathwing, although I can't speak to that from personal experience.
Regular Deathwing?
I was like, wait a second, what are you
variant.
Running?
I'm thinking like Dragon.
Dang.
Those are the after the raids. I don't know about those raids on Deathwing.
It's been a long day.
You get him when he shows up in the zone? Is that when you kill him? Can you even target him?
No, you know what? You can't, but he can certainly fry you to a crisp. Alrighty, and we will now move into our shoutout section. This week, my shoutout goes to O and Darla, who have been nothing less than magnificent in taking recruitment off my hands so I can do other guild management stuff. Thanks, guys. I really do appreciate it. Stoney, how about you? Do you have any shout-outs?
Yeah, actually, my shout-out would go out to Jessica Ray Ortega, who is my main editor for Big Crits, and she this week just wrapped up episode 4 despite A, not getting enough direction from me, B, having her back thrown out and barely being able to sit in her chair, and C, getting food poisoning on top of it. She still managed to bang out the episode. So big thanks to Jessica for wrapping that up tonight.
Wow, nice. Props to her.
Mm-hmm.
That's some serious dedication.
Magic, what's your word?
I could not come up with a good one, so my shout out is to you, Kern. God, I hate you so much. That is all.
Oh, man. Thanks, what did buddy. I walk into?
Anytime.
I got no idea. I don't know why we do this to ourselves. All right, and with that, we'll move into the tip of the week. This week's tip is tune into Big Crits if you haven't already. BigCrits.com. Real people conquering a virtual world. You really do get invested in the guild's progress as you watch. And I know I was pretty excited when I saw they got Heroic Halion and Heroic Lich King before Kata came out. An episode of particular note that has always stuck in my head and totally cracked me up is episode 14 of season 1, specifically Suzu Shiro's explanation and experience with Heroic Putrescide's Unbound Plague. Like that, you can't miss that. That is fantastic. Go watch it now and catch up on all the old episodes before watching season 3 of the show where Big Crits takes on Cataclysm. We'd love to hear your tips of the week. If you have any you'd like to share or any feedback you might have, email us at podcast@blessingoffrost.com. Let us know what you thought. You can also follow Apotheosis and myself on Twitter. Follow at ApotheosisET and at KernMoog. Leave comments and rate us up on iTunes. The stream is coming soon, I promise.
Coming soon to a stream near you.
Exactly. Stony, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your presence. It was a great podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I had a blast with you guys.
Our pleasure. Do you have anything you'd like to pimp out? We know you're pro at that.
Yes, look, in starting on March 9th is Big Crits is going to be celebrating its 1 year anniversary for one full week. So bigcrits.com or our YouTube channel Big Crits Guild, and we're going to be giving stuff away.
Excellent. I guess that brings us to the end of our 11th episode. I'm Kern.
I'm Stony Baby.
And I'm Magic.
Until next time, stay frosty.
Blessing of Frost is a not-for-profit World of Warcraft podcast by Kern and Magic, copyright 2011. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks to our Gildy Numenal for the use of his voice in our intro, and thanks to you for listening.